Okay, so, as you probably all are aware, I love sharing up front. So, this is probably going to be short and sweet. I was saying to Beth, she was saying, oh, you just need to, you know, flesh it out or whatever. And so I can't do that. I'm not like that. I like to just do the points and that's it. So this is probably what it's going to be. So let's go. So my topic was Blood of the Covenant. And it was the Tabernacle as well. But I skipped over that because it was too hard. So I just went with this. This is what I came up with as an idea. And the Tabernacle didn't really fit into that. So I just went with this part of it. Alright, how do I make this go? Alright, so this is a dictionary. Can you see that or not?
Yeah.
This is a dictionary. What's the word I'm looking for?
Definition,
that's it. Dictionary definition of a covenant. So an agreement, contract, or written promise between two individuals that frequently constitutes a pledge to do or refrain from doing something. The individual making the promise or agreement is known as the covenantor, and the individual to whom such a promise is made is called the covenantee. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Now these are some Old Testament covenants made between God and people. So first one's Noah, Abraham and David. There's a lot of covenants in the Bible, but these are the ones I chose. So we'll just read the first one, which is Genesis 9. 1 to 14. And I'll just find it now. If anyone finds it before me, feel free to read it.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, teem on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, for it is every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh.
Okay, so that's that was a one of the best examples of a covenant that I could find between God and man, and a man. That was the way that God tended to deal with man at that time in the Old Testament. Tended to deal with men through covenants. Go to the next slide. So how does it work? Now, actually, before we do that, I'll read Exodus 24:6-8. So this is the verse that was on the handout that Donnie gave us. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So, that covenant that was made with the people of Israel the blood was used for the covering of sins. The Israelites, man could not keep this covenant, or Israel could not keep this covenant. They would consistently be falling and needing to cover their sins with blood again. And a few chapters after they say that they will obey God, they ask Aaron to build them an altar and to follow some other god. So man was consistently violating the covenant, and that covenant had a start point here, and it has an end point with Jesus coming. So, head over to there. This is the new covenant with Jesus. This covenant was not made mutually between God and man. Man did not exist at the time it was made. Christ stood in the covenant in our place. This covenant was made before time began between God the Father and God the Son. And we enter into the covenant with Christ through faith. When I was working on this, I came across a lot of stuff from Spurgeon, just online, and I'm going to get Beth to read out a few slides, and I think they really paint the picture for the new covenant. So, Beth, if you wouldn't mind.
1800s English people, get ready. So this was Spurgeon, how he imagined this covenant went down before time began. So this is God speaking at
God
the start.
God the Father, yeah.
God the Father at the start. Thus I say, run the covenant in ones like these. I, the Most High Jehovah, do hereby give unto my only begotten and well-beloved Son a people, countless beyond the number of stars, who shall by him, washed from sin, and kept and led, and by him at last presented before my throne, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, I covenant by oath and swear by myself, because I can swear by no greater, that these whom I now give to Christ shall be forever the objects of my eternal love. Them I will forgive through the merit of the blood. These I will give a perfect righteousness. These will I adopt and make my sons and daughters, and these shall reign with me through Christ eternally. Next slide.
Okay, so that was God the Father. This is the other, or one of the other parts on God's side of the covenant. This is the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit also, as one of the high contracting parties on this side of the covenant, gave his declaration. I hereby covenant, saith he, that all whom the Father giveth to the Son, I will in due time quicken. I will show them their need of redemption. I will cut them off from them all groundless hope, and destroy their refuges of lies. I will bring them to the blood of sprinkling. I will give them faith whereby this blood shall be applied to them. I will work in them every grace. I will keep their faith alive. I will cleanse them and drive out all depravity from them, and they shall be presented at last spotless and faultless. This was the one side of the covenant which at the very day being fulfilled and scrupulously kept.
Okay. The last one, this is God the Son declaring to God the Father what he would do.
Need glasses. Sorry.
He thus, God, the Son, declared and covenanted with his Father, My Father, on my part, I covenant that in the fullness of time I will become man. I will take upon myself the form and nature of the fallen race. I will live in their wretched world, and for my people I will keep the law perfectly. I will work out a spotless righteousness, which shall be acceptable to the demands of thy just and holy law. In due time I will bear the sins of all my people. Thou shalt exact their debts on me, the chastisement of their peace I will endure, and by my stripes they shall be healed. My Father, I covenant and promise that I will be obedient unto death, even death on the cross. I will magnify thy law and make it honourable. I will suffer all they ought to have suffered. I will endure the curse of the law, and all the vials of thy wrath shall be emptied and spent upon my head. I will then rise again. I will ascend into heaven. I will intercede for them at thy right hand, and I will make myself responsible for every one of them, that not one of those whom thou hast given me shall ever be lost. But I will bring all my sheep of whom, by thy blood, thou hast constituted me the shepherd. I will bring every one of them safe to thee at last.
So, this covenant was designed by God to improve on the covenant he had made with the Israelites. It is to cover our sins once and for all. So, Jesus took on human form, but remained perfect. He died for our sins on the cross, and bore the full wrath of God's anger. He suffered and died to fulfil the old law, and Christ shed his blood to cover the sins of the human race. Jesus died and shed his blood. He was a perfect sacrifice. His perfect blood covered our sins forevermore. We never need to worry because he has done it all for us on the cross. So this is just a bit of comparison between the old and the new. The old covenant will be continually broken by man, and the new covenant will never ever be broken. The old covenant has passed away forever, and the new covenant is everlasting, and we were chosen before time. We, under the new covenant, no longer need to offer up blood sacrifices to God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. We, his people, have access to the Most High. Just going to close with another Spurgeon. With regard to Christ, his precious blood shed in Gethsemane, in Gabbatha, and Golgotha is the fulfillment of the covenant. By this blood, sin is cancelled by Jesus. Agony's justice is satisfied. By his death, the law is honoured, and by that precious blood, in all its mediatorial efficiency, and in all its cleansing power, Christ fulfills all that he stipulated to do on behalf of his people towards God. O believer, look to the blood of Christ and remember that there is Christ Christ's part of the covenant carried out, and now there remains nothing to be fulfilled but God's part. There is nothing for thee to do. Jesus has done it all. There is nothing for thee, nothing for free will to supply. Christ has done everything that God can demand. The blood is a fulfillment of the debtor's side of the covenant. And now God becometh bound by his own solemn oath to show grace and mercy to all whom Christ has redeemed by his blood.
Good work, eh?
That was awesome.
As I was saying to Ian before he got up, he's already done half of his exhortation and encouragement, because the fact that he's prepared to put up his hand and actually do it is a great encouragement to all of us. So half the job's done, and the message is essential one to our faith, really. So anyone got any reflections on the content, topic, random thought that crossed your mind, something the Holy Spirit might have dropped in?
I thought it was interesting. I don't know if this is just my lack of old biblical knowledge or not, but I thought it was interesting the context of talking about the old, you know, old covenant, new covenant.
Yep.
But then when you, all that stuff that Beth read out, obviously being hypothetical thing, but in the context of before everything, so that's kind of, I don't know, I find it weird that that's the new covenant, but that was almost before the old covenant. Yeah.
We were all chosen before time began.
My thing, and this shows a level of ridiculousness that is totally ridiculous, is he goes, when he was reading, he goes, yeah, because, you know, the new covenant's between God and Jesus, not God and man, and I went, no. Like, I hadn't really thought about it enough to go, oh, yes, that would have been done between God and Jesus and not God and us.
Yeah.
Little revelation of the day.
Hmm.
I reckon, I would like... wherever you got those things from, is it a website
Spurgeon.
Or...?
Yeah, just Google Spurgeon, and just there's hundreds of sermons on there.
That sermon is, like, typed in, you know, 1-point gaps, and it's, like, 15 pages long.
Yeah.
You would have been at church for 5 hours.
You know, because it has been on multiple scrolls.
I get the impression that Spurgeon was a man who spoke with authority and anointing, so the fact that we're still looking at what he said 200 or 300 years later is pretty impressive, really.
Yep.
I don't think anything I've said is going to be on whatever the internet is in 300 years' time.
You never know,
Max. No, I don't.
It's fascinating, though, that there's still hundreds of word-for-word accounts of really long sermons.
Yes. That's true.
It's interesting for me, Max, to sort of that last sentence that he said at the end was because of that covenant that he created or made with Jesus right at the beginning of time, how God deals with us now, he's operating under that obligation.